And we are back with another session of our Pig Smoke game, a Powered by the Apocalypse adventure. And we're going to jump right into it. We are framing a scene as the camera comes in on a windy country road that winds itself around a mountain top. There is a old-timey car that is burning rubber, barely sticking to this wavy road. Winding back and forth, there's a police car a bit behind. Lead car seems to be pulling ahead slightly. And as we zoom in, who's behind the wheel?
Vadis.
All right, Vadis. You've got a trunk full of liquor. You got a buyer ready for you in the next 2 hours. You just come out of Canada. You picked up a smoky on your trail here. No doubt some revenue. It's prohibition time. You got your foot to the metal. Exactly how did you land yourself in jail that you just got out of a week ago and got roped into this crew?
Quick question.
Sure.
Do we know we're wizards or not?
Nope.
Okay.
We do not. Prohibition era.
That is important. Ah, to be young again. I am Vadis the Indiscriminate, and, I've had trouble with the law before. Mostly for indiscriminate indiscretions. My hands, they get a little handsy sometimes. And, hey, when, you get handsy, you get a couple of equal lefts and rights in return. But a couple of barroom brawls in a speakeasy is nothing to cry over, especially when the coppers come in and bust up the place to throw you in the hoosegow. But just bide your time and you're out in no time at all. And back on behind the wheel to bring more libations to the masses. Now, they may have caught up to me already in the vehicle, but, I got the pedal to the metal, and no one's going to stop this train.
All right. You've had a pretty normal childhood, except for one thing. Occasionally, when you get really stressed out, odd things happen around you. When was the last time this odd thing happened, and what was it?
Well, I've been drinking. Understand? I'm in the business of making people have access to drink. So I have a lot of access to it myself. And being the man that I am, I drink, and I drink a lot. I am indiscriminate, after all. So when I've been tossing a few back, but, I'm working up the nerve to chat up that classy dame across the bar, or stare down the other less wise individuals thinking they got a chance against me, I get a little antsy. And sometimes when you get antsy, you do a few dumb tricks, like trying to set your alcohol breath on fire. And boy, can those cause some quite surprisingly large explosions.
All right, let's cut you there. Hanging out of the left window that you've just rolled down, Chicago typewriter in the hand as you slap in a barrel receiver. Who is that?
You're not gonna take us alive, coppers! As Seymour something Mortimer the Third, make sure that he's cocked and ready.
And also, Seymour just got out of jail not very long ago. What landed you in jail in the first place?
Robbing the dead.
Going through graveyards. Okay. Wow. There we go.
Hey, those mausoleums, they bury them with jewels sometimes and jewelry. They don't need them. They're dead.
Sometimes, late at night, when you're in a crypt and you just cracked open a cold one, sometimes odd things happen around you. What was the last odd thing that happened?
Last odd thing was the I swear the crows were watching me and following me, and there was this one crow that I swear I kept seeing every off and on. I'd talk to it, and the weird part was it would nod along perfectly with what I was saying. Last time it was a conversation about the proper etiquette of opening a coffin and making sure not to damage the body too much as you rifle through their things.
All right. Across from you, at the other window, rolling down the window, dynamite stick in hand, puffing on a cigar to get the cherry end of it red hot before you apply it to the top of the dynamite, is...
Mr. King, that's definitely you. That's way too cool to be me.
It cut out on me, but yeah, it's probably going to be King.
All right, Mr. King, as you puff on your cigar to get that in cherry hot and you apply the dynamite stick to it, you reflect back on how you were thrown in jail so unceremoniously and some benefactor bailed you out recently. What got you in jail?
Oh, I was doing the classic grift of the Irish laundromat when my grifting partner, chickened out in the middle of the dog walker section of that classic grift, crumbled, ratted me out. Next thing I know, I'm tossed in jail. Nothing but a dime to my name and a bag full of dirty socks.
All right, Solomon. Sometimes odd things happen around you that just happen to break your way. When was the last time this happened, and what was it?
Well, this goat came walking through the up to the windows of the jail cell with a picnic basket full of dynamite. Number one.
That works. Now, banging around in the trunk, trying to hold on to the crate of alcohol and make sure nothing gets shattered and thereby losing profit as he pushes his glasses up high onto his nose and hopes so very much that the police behind you don't start shooting because, well, you know, trunk is the largest target they've got, is...
It's going to be me. Galahad Mortis.
All right, Galahad, what landed you in jail right before some unknown benefactor bailed you out?
I shot the bar owner of a speakeasy. I was working for a mob boss in the town, and he had sent me over there to settle some debts. And I had a little piece of paper that I was to give to him. And I gave him that piece of paper, turned white, and went for a gun. I had to shoot him. Terrible shame, that.
Sounds good.
So the cops inside the speakeasy came over and arrested me.
All right. And for Galahad also, odd things seem to occur around him, usually breaking in his favor and adding a little bit of luck to your day. When was the last time that happened, and what was it?
Whenever I was going into the bar owner's office, the bodyguard just simply missed that .45 resting on my hip. Very odd that. Hand hit it, but then he just kind of shook it and moved on.
All right. So Vadis, at the wheel, you are trying your best to keep this jalopy, souped up jalopy. You know that someone in the garage has really done a number to the engine to get a bit more speed out of this thing than it would otherwise be able to do. You also know that your back panels have a little bit of extra armoring to them as well. But right now, you are hard-pressed to keep this car tight to the mountainside without running off the road, and I would like you to give me a sorcery or a plus sorcery roll.
Well, it just so happens that Vadis has applied power, which puts his sorcery to all his adventuring rolls, so that's good. And there's the basic roll button. And he keeps it somewhat on the road.
Okay. you have a choice here. You can tell me how you escape pursuit, but you're going to end up spinning out and crashing out of sight, or you're going to get caught. Which of the two sounds more intriguing to you?
Well, I'm going to modify that first one a little bit, and I'll be like, ha ha, don't worry, guys, I'll lose this sucker. And I, instead of turning on that tight turn, I just turn, keep going straight, down the side of the mountain, bumping all the way, going completely off-road, dodging trees and sliding this way and that as the vehicle careens nearly completely out of control, but we descend the mountain and bypass so many roads. It's so much faster and efficient, let me tell you.
The key part of that, though, with a 9 is you do end up crashing, however. So if you want to weave that one detail, which is going to put a stop to the car's forward momentum, into your description. All right, so integrate that in your description. Somehow, the car is going to be rendered inoperable here.
So, bumping and jostling all the way down, giving that liquor in the back a nice shaking that helps the flavor. We careen past a tree, slide off, going left, right, keep going down, and I'm right back on the road, and then somebody put, a cow there for some reason. They got, like, a pasture land that's crossing the road at the base of the mountain. Who knew? No one could have foreseen a cow in the middle of the road, and now there's hamburger in the middle of the road.
Which brings the car to an abrupt stop. But it does seem like you've lost the police, who are still rounding the mountain, not realizing that you had taken a shortcut down the side of the mountain.
Ha ha, you'll never get us! Ah! As I jerk forward.
Seatbelts, have them invented!
All right, guys, the car's come to a stop. It doesn't look like it's going to be going anywhere anytime soon, as the front end looks something like an accordion with about half a ton of beef.
Oh, hell, there's dynamite! Toss.
Boom, as you
open
the tree.
I open my door and I go to the trunk to get our to check on the booze, making sure to keep my Tommy ready.
Give me a plus nothing roll there, Galahad.
All right. My favorite roll. Let's see what... Oh, wait, no.
Oh. That's weird.
Didn't.
It didn't show anything for the roll.
Oh, yeah, that was weird. A 9!
All right, couple of bottles broke. You may have lost one. A few of them have cracks in the necks, but seem to be otherwise intact. Got a crate of booze here. Good Canadian booze.
Excellent news. I will kick open the trunk, pull out my Texas typewriter, and survey the scene.
Did you say Texas typewriter?
Yep.
Clearly bigger.
Mm-hmm. It's from Texas.
Obviously bigger, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you've just come back from Captain Clark. You've got your good Canadian booze here. Illegal, now that you've crossed state lines and come back into the good old U.S. of A. Who has the buyer? Which one of you knows the buyer?
I know the buyer. Armin. He does.
All right, you can both know the buyer.
We both know the buyer.
Yeah. Frankie Vito of the Domino Room. He's a reliable customer, although he is awfully cautious. Is expecting this crate of booze here. Looking at your watch, you got 2 hours to make it. You got a car that's not moving anytime soon. Oh, and the city is way over there. You can see the lights coming through the early morning haze. That's an awful long walk.
Well, I look around and I see if maybe there's a farmhouse with maybe a Model T waiting around here.
Or some horses.
Peering around, you see what might be a barn roof a little bit there in the distance. Kind of heavily forested area. You know, you took this route specifically because there wasn't a lot of homesteads out here. But you do see, looks like the roof of a farm right over there. It's fairly early morning. The sun's just coming up. Dew's still on the ground.
Yeah, well, fellas, they got to have a truck or something over there at that farmhouse.
Yeah, see, let's go to that farmhouse. It might be what we're looking for, see?
So, let me do the talking, fellas. I have some money, and we can let it do the talking. That way we don't have...
Fine, but if they don't disagree with us, I want to make my time. I have a reputation, and if we need to put a few more holes, I don't mind a few more holes. Just for convincing.
Man, let me tell you, letting your money do the talking instead of letting your talking make the money, I've never heard of such a thing. But if you think it'll work...
I'll take the booze while you do the talking. Unless you think maybe they need a little bit of a drink.
Well, I'm sure
that booze is dedicated to old Vito at the Domino Room. Better not.
Except that broken bottle. I better save it now.
I'm gonna walk away while they're continuing on and on and on. I'm going to walk over to the farmhouse.
So the one other thing that all of you know is that about a week ago, some unknown benefactor bailed all of you out of jail, different jails. You didn't spend time together. And you didn't get to meet the man, but when your accessories were handed back to you, there are a couple of $20 bills that weren't in your wallets before, along with a business card of a local diner.
$20, that's a lot of money these days.
Couple of $20, yeah, and $40 bills. $40 worth of bills.
Well, back in my poppy's days, that $20 was actually worth something. These days, it takes a whole penny to get a ball of gum.
Ah, man, dark times.
Mm-hmm.
Though among your possessions was also a business card for a local Greasy Spoon diner, where you ended up meeting each other. The waitress there had a suitcase that someone had left for you. She had no idea who it was, just that some men would be coming in and would be coming in after the suitcase. Inside was enough money to bankroll your new life.
Ooh. Okay, well.
So you've been at this for about a week now, making connections. So far, you've only got the one supplier and the one buyer, but you're hoping to make a name for yourselves. There are some other rivals in town, which we'll get to later. But there is a farmhouse in the distance. The Galahad, you are heading towards. Bankrolled
our new lives and immediately turned to crime.
I'm going to go ahead and give over my Texas typewriter to someone, so that way I'm not sitting there with a loaded gun. While I walk, knock on this man's door.
I make sure to stay a good distance away since I'm packing heavy.
Well, as you come upon the farmstead, Galahad, it is in disrepair. The fence that this man obviously kept some kind of livestock in has not been up maintained and upkept. There is currently no livestock in the field, although there's some stray wild chickens here and there greeting the morning sun by pecking in the ground. It's a dilapidated farmhouse and a garage, which does in fact seem to have some kind of automobile underneath a canvas tarp that seemed better days. The house itself, door is, well, it's wide open, hanging on the frames. The windows look like it's taken a hail of bullets at some point in time. But it's always quiet, except for a stray rooster crowing in the background.
All right, I'm just going to quickly do some rooms just to check and see if someone is here.
You doing it quietly, or are you calling out as you enter the house?
I am calling out and saying, hello, is anyone there? It's me, Boo-Boo.
There's no reply other than an angry rooster crawling a bit louder at you. But as you enter the house, you smell. It's like really bad barbecue, burned meat.
Let's go see who had themselves a witch burning.
All right. Galahad's entered the house. The rest of you guys are around the property. Nothing seems to be moving. You do see the big, the open barn with some kind of transport under some canvas there. What the rest of you
I'll
guys
take a
doing?
Peek. I'll take a peek under that canvas.
I'm going to go head over with him and start checking out the barn.
All right. Your usual barn-like implements, a few pitchforks here and there. There's a hayloft. Roof is still intact, keeping things dry. Underneath the canvas is an old utility truck, flatbed, no sides. It's painted this really pale greenish color, rather tasteless, actually. Big wide cab.
See here, fellas, it's perfect for our needs. Nice and nondescript. Good spot to put the booze.
I'm riding shotgun.
Now, speaking of which, it does have a gun rack in the back window. There's no gun on it. Tires look good. You don't know if it'll run. It seems to be in pretty bad shape, but tires look good. Nothing obviously wrong with it.
Pop the hood. I'll take a look at the engine here.
All right. You pop the hood. The first thing you notice is an old style crank start. The bars laying on the floor. Looks like the engine's been fairly well maintained. Big beast of an engine with a very large area all around it. Makes it easy for working on. She's a diesel for sure.
Right there's fine American ingenuity.
Think you can get it running and it'll get us in town in time?
Absolutely. It's got the crank start here. I haven't seen one of those in about 5 years, but I think I should remember how.
Galahad, you follow your nose to the back bedroom where you see what looks like used to be Ma and Pa, still in bed, nightcap on, except the bodies have been charred to the bone with enough heat that the bone has largely disintegrated, but oddly enough, flames hadn't touched the bed, the bed cloth, or the rest of the room. Just the people.
Just the people are burned.
Wait, near ash. There's still, bits of the skull and bones here and there, but burned to near ash.
Okay. I'm gonna... That's definitely very, very odd. I'm going to take a look around and see what could have done this. Maybe some quicklime?
All right, yeah, you start looking around the room. No signs of a struggle. No sign of any other kind of incineration anywhere. You do notice there are a lot of paraphernalia hanging around. The people were religious, you think? Although, crosses on the walls there... kind of odd that they're hanging upside down. There's also a few pieces of ironwork hanging around that make odd glyphs off signs. That just in the back of your head, there's this kind of recollection that you might know or should know what those sigils mean, but maybe it's something you read somewhere.
Interesting. Yeah. Nothing. So nothing I can figure out weirdness going on.
It's you feel like you should know what some of these things mean, but you just can't bring it to the front of your mind.
Well, maybe that time I served in World War I, I knew them shells, they would do some damage. Well, we're going to turn around, go to the others and see. Maybe one of them can help me out.
Well, your companions are rolling out a flatbed truck from the barn. Solomon seems to be tinkering under the hood.
Well,
find the local owner of the house, because this car seems to be working good according to King here.
Seems to be that somebody had themselves a Salem picnic out there inside the house. Seems to be some weird things up on the wall. I don't really know them. Want to see if some of the you gentlemen might go out there and check them out and see. Maybe y'all know. Seems to be really
Well, if you watch the liquor in the rest of the car, or what was left of it, I'll go take a gander.
Make sure you give him his gun back.
Well, you have it. Oh, yeah, I'll grab the gun. My Texas typewriter.
I'll go with you with my gun to give you cover.
I was growing fond of it.
Gotta respect other people's property. It's their only
What?
They only need to not worry about it when they're dead. So, since they're dead, let's
check
the house out.
This is news to me.
My friend, if you're gonna worry about respecting other people's property, you might be in the wrong line of business.
And most importantly, the Salem picnic looked a little weird. Didn't burn any of the surrounds. I don't know.
That is weird. Maybe my experiences with the dead might help me. See if I can find anything. I'll head up.
If you could just keep that mostly to yourself.
Hey!
That guy creeps me out.
Do you know what's hidden in those old mausoleums?
Jewels. I don't want to know.
Diamonds!
That's fine. They can
Catholic
stay
guilt. That's what it's buried in.
I'm going to let it stay hidden. Certain things man was not meant to know, my friend.
And as they always say, you can take it with you.
So Seymour is stepping into the house and checking out the room?
Yeah, I'll do also a once over for anything that might catch my eye as something useful, since the owners of the house no longer need it.
I am doing likewise.
Well, both of you are in the room then. And both of you also have just kind of this scratching in the back of your head that you kind of recognize what these odd iron glyphs are that are just kind of hanging around like ornaments. You feel like you should know what they mean, but neither of you can really put your mind on things. Now, Seymour, having a predilection for all things dead.
I don't like how you say that, Bert.
Hey, there's no sexual connotation to that. There better not be.
Now, this is going to be an odd roll. I want you to try and do me some magic, but take a -2 to the roll.
Okay, so that'll be a straight roll then. 9.
All right, you see the two forms in bed, and as Galahad had said, their skeletons are there, mostly burnt to ash. But no other marks on the bed or clothing that any kind of fire was there. You hear kind of a whispering in your ear, though, as you're looking at what was probably Ma whoever here. It's a distinctly feminine voice in your ear, like an old grandma. You kind of feel a caress on your left shoulder. And it's not so much words in your head, but your eyes are drawn to a certain floorboard that you're sure you're going to find something on.
I follow this instinct. Sounds like something I've done before in the crypts. Probably something has happened similarly, so I trust my instinct.
All right.
Even if I do probably give a little bit of a visible shudder.
Okay, the floorboard is a little loose as you pry at it a bit. You pop it open. It's a jar full of some coin and money there. Not an awful lot, but looks like this was maybe their savings. There's also a book. Book is bound in some thick-looking cow leather. It's been the same kind of strange sigils that you see adorning the walls in strange pieces of ironwork have been branded into the leather of this book.
Interesting. Grab a bag, put the book and the savings in there, and be like, well, found me their savings. Don't gonna need it, but interesting looking book. May tell us something more, although Mr. Mortis probably wouldn't care for it since this stuff is a little bit creepy for him, but I'm more the type that man was meant to know. We just have to delve deeper, so to speak. And I'm trying to figure out how I went from gangster to southern.
How about Vadis? You're in this room as well. What are you doing?
Perusing around, looking in the closet, a most likely place for a shotgun or the like. Maybe there's another gun rack inside which he puts it on. Maybe it's next to the bed.
Well, you are correct. There is both a shotgun and a rifle in the closet. A couple of boxes of ammunition laying there, as well as some rubber boots and lots of farm clothing. You see some overalls, a straw hat, some very simple dresses.
It's only practical for Vadis to grab one of the weapons, and he thinks about the accurate precision of the rifle or the scatterscot indiscretion of the shotgun, and immediately picks up the shotgun. Grabs the shells, too, and is like, "Thanks, friend. I'll remember you fondly, whatever your name was. Do we have a name for these people? Maybe a home sweet home sign on the wall?"
I didn't see a mailbox that might have had a name.
You did not.
Well, we did come in the back way, as it turns out.
We're going to cut scenes to Solomon King. Engine looks to be in working order. Looks like he got about a quarter tank of diesel in it. Should be enough to get you to town.
Excellent. I will fire it up and honk on the horn to let these guys know it's time to get out of here.
No keys needed. You crank the front of it, and it's got an electric button on the inside that starts
the starter button. Click buzz, ka-chunk, ka-chunk, rattle, 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 pop, bang.
You guys hear a sharp horn.
Hey, something, whatever your name was. Sounds like our cue to go.
I got what I was looking for. Let's get out of here.
You were looking for a book?
I was looking for any leftovers. Found the savings, at least. Help alleviate some of the costs we're probably going to have to pay, since I think we lost a bottle.
And I found a shotgun. Maybe I can saw this down.
I just nod, but yeah.
So Solomon taking the wheel this time?
Yep.
I'm taking shotgun.
No, I have the shotgun.
I'm sitting in the probably one passenger seat. Because at least that was from the description I got of the truck. That probably didn't have that large of a cab.
Actually, it's a really wide cab. All four of you could squeeze in there pretty easily.
Well, one person needs to be in the back with the booze.
That's clearly got to be me.
Yeah, that is true. As I described it, it is a flat bed with no sides. So, you know, you've got the cab up front and then just this flat back. So are you going to do anything to cover that up or otherwise?
Some rope laying around. The tarp that we pulled off the vehicle in the first place.
Yeah, there we go.
Try to tie it down best we can.
There are plenty of mount points. The bed of this truck was obviously made to have things strapped down to it, so that's easily enough. You throw the tarp over it, tie it down in place. And you guys are off.
Mm-hmm.
And I am back of the truck car surfing.
I am driving right, nice so and safe to not draw attention.
No laws that you're breaking there to sit in the back. Such laws don't exist yet because, you know, your own fool head allows you to do that. And you fall down and break it. Well, that's on you.
I'm going to be kind of seeing, like, just doing a perusal of the book I found. See, like, if the inside actually has understandable language or it's all gobbledygook.
It's all gobbledygook to you. The words kind of seem to move around and kind of makes you feel a little uneasy to look at it for too long.
Then I would immediately close it and put it back in the bag.
It's okay.
Yeah, I get car sick when I read and drive, when I read in a car the same way, Mel.
Yeah, and also, my brother, he had that dyslexia too. It's nothing to feel bad about.
What's dyslexia?
That's when your stomach's upset.
All right, well, you roll into town.
From eating too much rich food.
The morning is fully moving. People are out getting a little bit of breakfast in the local diners before going off to factory work. And you pull in to the establishment that during the day is, of course, a perfectly legitimate restaurant operation.
We're going to the Domino Room.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the outside just says Domino's, but people that go there after hours and know the special knock you give on the back door know it as the Domino Room.
I wonder if they serve any of that fancy Italian pie.
I'll go ahead and start knocking.
All right. You knock at the delivery entrance in just that certain way. There's an eyeball that greets you as the door opens. It's a little slide at the top of the door opens, eyeballs you over.
Delivery.
Yeah, voice says, what do you want?
I have libations.
All right, there is the little viewport slammed shut. You hear several locks being juggled. The door opens just wide enough to look you up and down. There's a nod. It's like, Galahad.
Yeah.
This has been good with you so far. Let's see what you got for me this time.
Well.
Who's keeping lookout?
The Indiscriminate.
All right. And Solomon, are you staying behind the wheel?
Sure am. Just in case we got to leave quickly.
All right, Mr. Indiscriminate. You see a couple of boys across the street looking kind of nonchalant, checking out their pocket watches. They're dressed awfully nice. You know the type, at least by the wardrobe they wear, which is a little fashionable, we'll say, for this town. Those are some of the Marcel boys, another group, rival group of people that provide excellent liquors to the establishment. They seem to be paying a lot of attention to Domino's right now.
I wave cheerily.
Oh, you wave at them?
Yeah. Hello. Hi. I'm Vadis.
They're across the street. So are you actually yelling that out or what?
Yes. Hi. Hello. I'm Vadis.
All right. They quickly act like they're involved in something else. One of them pulls out a newspaper and sits down on a park bench nearby. The other one lights a cigarette and kind of turns his back to you. Meanwhile, Galahad, give me a plus charisma roll.
All right. I'm actually built for this. Yay. Oh, yeah.
13. All right. Well, you make a very good impression, and this handoff goes very smoothly. So why don't you give me some dialogue to that effect?
Well, Mr. Domino, sadly, picked up a couple of the badges along our way here, but we managed to lose them. Some of the product got damaged, but as you can see, most of it is in acceptable condition.
He pulls out a bottle. Whistles at the label that's on it. Says, Mr. Galahad, you've outdone yourself. This is some top quality stuff. And he looks at the broken bottle that's still in the crate. He says, well, we'll just, me and the boys will just split what's left of that bottle ourselves there. And we'll call this a good transaction. What do we agree on? 300?
Yes, sir. It was the 300. Now, although, you know, for securing a little bit more future contracts with you. Could do something about that number, sir.
Well, Galahad, I gotta say, Martell boys came by here about an hour ago, looking to see if my establishment might need a little bit more in the way of refreshments. Now, whew, they weren't offering anything as top shelf as this. Bathroom gin, bathtub wine. That's about what they had to give me. Well, I'd be glad to continue business with you, Mr. Galahad, if this is the kind of custom I can expect.
Indeed so. We do nothing but the best for those who use the Knight Incorporated. So, you want to throw an extra 50 on there for advance for us to go back up there, be surely appreciated.
Well, if you can get me the same stock.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks over the bottle again.
Guaranteed.
And he says, I'll give you 100 down. And we'll take the same next week.
Absolutely. On Wednesday. It's always a pleasure doing business with you, Mr. Domino.
Oh, yeah, he pays out in 20s. Bids you a good morning, happy with his acquisitions. All right.
I will whistle my way out.
Meanwhile, outside.
At the door.
All right, Vadis, they are studiously ignoring your greetings this fine morning. There are some other town folk out. You notice the center of the town, there is a there's a large metal post that's got a time clock as part of it. You're noticing that it is 7 a.m. in the morning. Just struck it. Lots of people are exiting the diners after having some breakfast. Up on the hill there, the local factory that provides lots of the jobs. Just the smokestacks have just started belching out their black fumes. Day's worth of productivity looks like it's ahead for the common folk. Not you, the common folk.
The suckers.
Well, 7 a.m. Day's practically half over already.
About bedtime.
Almost time to go to bed. Yeah. Hey, King. You see the Martell boys over there?
Yeah, I see the palookas. They look like it could be trouble.
They're being mighty unfriendly. I was waving and everything. Maybe I should go over and make sure they get proper introductions of myself.
How indiscriminate of you.
I think not. I don't think so, Mr. Vadis. I think we should leave them be. They are probably watching to see who's the source of Domino's liquor, since they are one of those types.
Well, if they're looking to make a peep show of it, as you suggest, how about I just mosey over and make some introductions so they know exactly who they're dealing with?
That would be a bit more dangerous than we would like. I'd rather wait for Mr. Mortis, who knows the territory a little bit better, to make any big decisions like that.
Yeah, we're trying to keep a low profile.
Well, wait, we are?
We're trying to keep a lower profile with that people like them. We still need to make connections with the suppliers and the demanders.
And we don't want to draw attention to the constabulary.
Exactly.
We don't? That was the best fun we had all night.
Why did I look over at King? Why did we let him drive?
Given the a shrug. I don't know.
Very fast.
And then I go, well, we did escape the police.
I guess technically, yes.
About this time, Galahad is walking back to you guys. It looks like he has successfully dropped off the crate.
Galahad, we have a couple of watchers from the boys. The
Martells.
Yeah, them.
I was of the opinion we go introduce ourselves to the looky-loos. He's deep in thought, fellows.
Apparently so.
He is contemplative. I appreciated it.
It looks like they might be trying to hustle in on our business, although Domino gave us didn't seem like he was much interested in their business as he gave us an advance on our next trip up to Canada.
Do any of you know the reputation of the Martells? Are they going to be coming after us or going after Domino?
Well, they are bootleggers like ourselves. They ain't got the connections to go over someone like Domino. However, if we were to go missing, well, that wouldn't break their heart. Not at all.
Then I'll make sure old Bertha here is nice and well maintained.
I still got several sticks of dynamite.
Well, this here's the city. Dynamite in the city is a little too loud. Let's stick with the typewriters.
Yes, a nice quiet machine gun.
Indeed. It's easier to fix bullet holes than it is bombshells. Let's go ahead and enjoy our rest. Get ready. Go back on the road, gents.
Quite right. I need to... I hope we can at least salvage the vehicle, because that I imagine you put some customization into it, which would be cutting a bit into our profit.
So, what if you knew the auto mechanic that souped up the car that unfortunately ran into some hamburger?
I'm going to say myself, which is why I was driving.
All right, Vadis, so you know Lucky's garage, and Lucky is the artiste that knows about souping up cars.
We can mosey on over to Lucky's garage if we wanted to see about a replacement or to trade in this truck here.
Or hopefully recover our previous vehicle if the cops aren't already on it.
Well, that vehicle had an unfortunate incident with a cow. I think you may recollect. That's
I don't know the mechanics of cars that well. Maybe there's something that he can, you know, salvage and use, and at least use whatever's left on the down payment of a new one.
Maybe the armor plating in the back, or the tires, possibly the engine. I mean, they've been making these things like tanks these days.
Well,
what's a tank?
Give directions to King. I think that's one of them vehicles they used at the end of the last war or something like that. Weird vehicles.
Them slow. British boys came up with it. Nice and good for punching a hole into the Huns' lines.
Armored tractor, really?
Well, a little bit more than that. At least by then.
You're right. Armored tractor with some guns on it.
So where are you heading? And what are you planning to do? Your burgeoning enterprise here has only one source of alcohol, although a good one. One buyer that pays well, but certainly that's not enough to start the empire you wish to build. You also seem to be down one nondescript car. Well, this truck is certainly great for hauling. It's really putrid green color. It makes it kind of stand out a bit.
I think our plan is to first go to Lucky's to see about getting a replacement vehicle, and then after that, I think I look to the others like, after Lucky's, how about we go down to our sleeping hole, call it sped down for the morning, and then see if you could get a couple of better connections. I'm not really good with the getting the right connections for people who might want to buy or sell.
So we might get some chance to spend some of this honestly gotten gains of ours.
Oh, I know I honestly got it.
That's what I said.
Oh, and does anyone want the split of this money, or do you guys consider it too bloody for you? Or smoky?
What money?
As I hold up the jar of savings from the farmhouse.
As far as I'm concerned, that's yours.
Oh, well.
I'll gladly take some of that as a expense of doing business.
I'd prefer to... I don't know.
That's not on my hands. I didn't kill him.
Well, but there might be people looking for that kind of money. They ain't burned them alive for nothing.
Best to split it up then and make it harder to find. That's what I say.
I actually look at the money to see if there's anything special about it that might throw it off.
Which money? The
the savings. The savings from the farmhouse.
Oh, okay. It's mostly coins. Few dollar bills, five here and there. You know, all told, there's about $30 in that jar. Not a bad savings.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money in these days.
Yeah.
Not as much as it was in my dad's day. You know it costs a whole penny for a ball of gum?
I may have heard that once or twice, yes.
I think you've stated that more than once or twice. I don't mind, though. As long as I can get my milk, can get my food, I don't care what the price is, so long as I have the money for it.
Now, as far as that suitcase of spending money that got you started in your new life of crime here, which of you, other than Galahad, who knew the Domino Room as your first connection, and Vadis, who knows Lucky's Garage, one of you two remaining folks, what did you figure out for a place of operation? What is it and where is it?
Oh, I knew a building, well, seeing as I don't want to honestly sell some things to the dead people, I know the people who are more on the fencing side and, you know, no type of that. And, well, luckily for me, I knew a fence who knew a guy who knew a guy who had some real estate that was real cheap to rent. And so we've got a nice little building near the outside of town where it's basically got it's kind of got that, like, they were going to build a factory there but then they didn't, so it's got that nice open floor plan on the bottom but all the little offices above and that have been converted into rooms and other stuff and has all the plumbing and fixings.
Sure, so maybe it was a factory that was going to open, but they ran out of money before they finished it. So some of the rooms are finished, some aren't.
Yeah.
So is there a fence surrounding it with the big old keep out signs?
Pretty much.
All right. And Solomon, you're the last one that hasn't picked something. So you have an ally of sorts in this town. Could be an official, could be someone... fairly high up, could just be somebody very useful. What do they do?
He's one of the top reporters in the local newspaper.
Oh, very nice. Reporter in the, you want him to be just a local paper or is it a national syndication? Their headquarters just happen to be here.
There you go. Yeah, that'll work.
All right. Give me a name.
Chip McKinley, ace reporter.
All right, he'll work for the Times.
Just the Times?
Just the Times.
Mm-hmm.
Big paper. Get it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
All the news, let's get the print.
Like, whenever I read the paper, I always feel like the times are a-changing.
More time, the times
what is it daily?
The more they stay the same.
All right, you have a bit of money left in your suitcase from an unknown benefactor, a few hundred in there anyway, what you've earned today and this couple's life savings in a mason jar. So now what?
What?
Dinner, I think. Breakfast as dinner.
I think it's time for us to rest, gents, and then... Let us see, look at the light of day, or the light of our day, by the wolf's sun.
And hopefully we can make sure we're in time to talk to Lucky, so that we can get a new vehicle, because this one's nice for getting around town, but not real useful or subtle.
So, gents, I don't know if y'all know anything about business, but I think that one of the critical ideas in business is the hostile takeover.
Maybe we should get into the business of are you suggesting maybe we should get into the business of bathtub gin and tonic that another group might be involved with?
I hear what you're saying. Find where the Martells are hanging out, and I've got this big old box of dynamite with their name on it. I like how you think.
Well,
couple of them right over there. Let's introduce ourselves.
Well, it's St. Valentine's Day here very shortly. I think we should all give that good old saint a nice little gift.
I nod.
So,
perhaps some roses, a box of chocolate, you're thinking?
Yes, indeed.
I figure we could also give the saint a little bit of Sinners.
We give them some sinners, so that way Saint can feel nice and busy.
I don't follow you.
I'm not sure what he's getting at either, no.
I was just going to destroy where they... I was going to blow up their place so they'd have to leave town.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I like that plan. I like that plan. Yeah.
No, see, we need their place.
Yeah, we want... They have all the infrastructure. They have the gin, the bathtubs, the tonics. Plus, if we can get a few of the right people of theirs, we can recruit them for our empire and expand.
And so that way, it ain't us in some back alley road somewhere getting shot up by the police. Instead, we're sitting in a hotel room, making other folks, paying other folks to get shot by the police.
I gotcha. So you want to send them some nice valentines and, like, smoosh them over to our side. I getcha.
Oh.
I can do that. I'm a smooth-talking fella.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
I'm thinking some valentines made of lead-shaped flowers.
What shape is lead in?
Whatever shape I want it to be.
I think it'd be flower-shaped lead.
I look at Mortis and I go, maybe we should stop using the metaphors and go to a more private space.
I plan to shoot him dead.
Oh.
Oh.
That's a bit of an escalation, isn't it?
Oh. I start rubbing my head and face like, ugh.
Well, I find that if you shoot the other guys dead, there ain't no more escalation to be had. Because they're dead.
Well, I cannot argue with logic like that.
And you go for the, and you make sure you go for the top.
Work of my former boss.
That way those who are lower know you're the one in charge and will follow you.
Mm-hmm. And there will be no consequences from those actions whatsoever.
What's this have to do with St. Valentine?
I'm sorry, Solomon, how many more sticks of dynamite do you still have on your person?
I'm going to say I have 6 sticks in a comically oversized cigar case.
There's also a cigar in there.
Out of character, I'm just thinking, oh god, those things, that can be very unstable. But let's go back to our place and get some sleep, then talk to Lucky, and then see if we can find a couple of people who might know more about the Martells. You dig? Right,
that's your plan? Go back to headquarters and grab a nap? You have been working all night, after all.
Yes, absolutely. First step is nap. Nap time.
Yeah, but before I nap, just because I just have this weird nagging feeling, especially because of that whisperer. I'm going to kind of like study the book a little bit, you know, see if I can make sense of the gobbledygook. Just like something about the gobbledygook. Maybe it makes sense if you stare at it long enough, or maybe I can find a pattern.
All right, fair enough. I'll get to you in a moment. So you all get some shut-eye, and you have strange, strange dreams about teaching at some university, really loathing kids that you're teaching. Galahad, give me a plus magic roll there, or a plus one roll.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Come morning. The dream is hazy. You're forgetting very quickly what you were dreaming about, but you remember one thing that you used to be able to do. What is that thing you can remember?
I will say I used to be able to, cast illusions.
Okay. Very good.
I was an illusionist.
Can I be honest? For a little while, I forgot we were playing Big Smoke. all caught up in the Untouchables here.
We'll go to Solomon next. Solomon, go ahead, give me a plus sorcery roll. All right, Solomon, your dream fades quickly, and you don't really remember anything about it other than you had an odd dream that night.
What's an Excel spreadsheet? Why do I know how to do the macros? What's a macro?
Same, or is that your role? Is that your plus?
Yes. Three?
Okay, 12. All right. So, yeah, again, the dream fades pretty quickly, but you remember something that you used to be able to do. What is that?
I remember how to close wounds and heal people using magic. you know, like, I know how to use this strange power to heal.
Okay, fair enough. Vadis, before you went to sleep, you were staring at this strange book.
Was Seymour.
Oh, that was Seymour. Sorry. Well, let's do Seymour. Let's finish up with Seymour then. Seymour, you're staring at this strange book. I would like you to you're gonna hazard some danger here. So it's a plus nothing unless you've got an ability that allows you to add something to that.
Unfortunately, no. The only thing I have that lets me add my sorcery to danger is zombies. I don't got those. Ooh, that's gonna get me an experience though, at least.
Yes, it will. And if you are keeping track of a character sheet, mark down, start a new box, call it corruption, and put a mark there.
That's bad.
All right, Vadis.
Remember what time frame we're in. Corruption is good.
Oh.
Vadis, go ahead and give me your plus sorcery roll.
So.
Okay. Your memories fade. You remember some inconsequential things about the future, but don't come out of it remembering anything more about yourself.
That dynamite Solomon has. It's important for some reason.
Actually, I'll let you choose. What future information do you remember in the morning for some strange reason?
Future information that I remember. This is tough because Vadis has always been a robustly old man.
I'm just imagining, like, you remember the importance of explosions to the time continuum.
Yes, everything is constantly explosions. The sun is an infernal explosion machine, constantly radiating us with its magnificence.
Sure. So you start to remember having a fondness for explosions. That's fine. We can go with that.
Hey, Solomon, where'd you get the dynamite? Do you have any extra lying around? Perhaps we could get some more.
I got it from a goat. Came up to me while we were in jail with a picnic basket full of it. That's how we got out, remember? No, wait, we got taken out by our benefactor. Well, it was the second plan.
Oh, it was plan A.
I was in a very different jail.
Does anybody catch the benefactor's name?
No, he was anonymous. According
Never to even met the man, or woman, or potential being of cosmic entity like our son.
What a weird thing to say.
The only thing I might have caught is I might have caught a John Doe, but that may just me filling in the blank with a generic name.
What did you just say, Vadis?
I said I never even met the man or woman or the maybe cosmic entity like our magnificent glorious sun.
That is an odd thing to say.
Yeah, that's a very odd thing to say.
Just seems to fit for some reason.
What do you know about the sun?
Ah, well, some people would have you believe that the sun was not the center of the universe. It is the center of the universe, fellows. There was this great guy, Galileo, Copernicus, all those great gents in the past. They let you know, sun's the center. And also, it is like incandescent gases constantly exploding and radiating their warmth of those explosions down upon us from up on high.
I give a side look to Galahad, raising an eyebrow like, you want to take this one, or...
I give the very firm shake of no. It's your turn.
I lean over and go to Vadis, that's very interesting information. Just don't spread that around as you're coming off as a little bit, well, you don't want to end up in one of those places for those they think are not all there mentally. I've heard bad stories.
No, those places are fine. Like day spas, honestly. Got a chair. Gives you a bit of a jolt. It's very invigorating.
I just click another sidelong glance to Galahad and just shake my, like, give him a look, like, kind of just lost, like, thousand-yard stare for a second, and just shake my head, like, oh, God, and kind of lean over and just say, oh, please, God, protect us.
I don't know about you, fellas, but I'm ready to move this conversation to another line of thought.
Yes, how about we go visit Lucky?
Mm-hmm. You know what they call the one-legged, one-armed dog?
What do they call him?
Lucky.
You don't need a dog like that all at once.
So, you pull in. Lucky's place is half auto shop, half scrapyard. Lucky is a wizened old man. Seems to have some South American heritage. His skin is very dark and just sun-kissed to the point of being like old leather. He's got this scraggly white beard and grayish white hair. He's got a set of overalls on and a greasy cap, and he is climbing out underneath an old Edsel that he's working on as you roll in with your flatbed.
Lucky, my friend! Wait for him to crawl out from underneath the Edsel.
Yep, he starts, he goes over to his sink, starts scrubbing the oil and grease from underneath his hands before he gives you a good shake. What? No bottle of booze for your old buddy?
There were indiscretions last night with the police. They did not take kindly to us driving on the mountain.
Well, no matter. I got some of my own left. Pulls out a little hip flask, takes a swig, and hands it to you, Vadis, and motions for you to hand it around. So who are your friends?
Let me introduce Mr. Solomon King, as I pass him the flask. It was something Mortimer the Third. And Galahad Mortis.
Well, folks call me Lucky. Dan Sims to the police. Speaking of which, what brings you here? That is... And he's peering around to make sure you weren't followed.
There might be a bit of salvage work on the road a bit out of town. A bit of a ways out of town. Apparently a car may have run into a wandering cow and maybe totaled now.
You want the car disappeared or you want it fixed?
If it's fixable, that'd be amazing. You would be a miracle worker, sir. Otherwise, probably disappeared.
Got two rolling wheels. Hit it in front, and you hit it in back.
Hit it in front. With the cow.
Yep. He starts looking around. It's like, I can probably get it towed off. So, can have it chopped up and lost in the junkyard if I can't get it fixed. And if I can, he rubs his chin hairs. How much you looking into to invest in repairs? I mean, I can work my magic on a lot of things, but sometimes it ain't worth it. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. That's why we were looking into maybe alternative means of transportation, should that not be possible. We also have this truck to trade in if necessary.
It's a good truck. Certainly be a use around business here, but I tell you what, let's go out back and let's see what my boys have come up with lately. He takes you guys out into the junkyard, and there's a wall that looks like it's made up of all kinds of compressed pieces of scrap, and he does a little something with it, and you find that it's only a few inches deep, and it's all been plastered onto a piece of wood that acts like a door. It pulls aside, and the inside is a really nice appointed garage, and you can see that there are cars that are jacked up. They're being repainted. There's a couple of fellows working with files, scraping off any kind of identification marks.
It is, as always, a mechanical wonderland in here. Lucky, you are amazing.
The boys have been able to write up a few cars for me, as you see here, so I'm betting you want something fast. something easily forgettable if you looked at it.
Fast, yes. The other one, I don't particularly care.
Yes, we want something forgettable if possible.
Uh-huh. Well, how deep are your pockets this time around, Vadis?
Well, I look at Galahad.
What, $100 do you?
$100? Whew, $100. $100, I'd sell you that truck you just rolled in with for $100. $200, I got a couple of Model Ts here, not too much mileage on them, good trunk space. $250 would get you a pretty nice truck. And he's showing you around his room. Obviously, these are stolen cars that are being repainted and given new plates, that sort of thing.
Well, it'd be at least the $100 plus the trade in the truck, right? Anybody, guys, any of yous having a differing opinion on that matter of trading in the truck?
I'm good.
Now, if you can come up with a bit more cash, I got the sweet Model A here. And he pulls off a cloth on a shiny new Model A. Just rolled in today. Heard it was taken from a fellow up from New York.
A fellow from New York, you say?
Guys, we need to get more cash.
Who brought in the truck?
Oh, the truck or the Model A?
The Model A.
Oh. Well, one of my boys, as I said, took it off the street. He said the man was flashing around a bunch of cash, talking he's some bigwig up in New York, out this way looking to get into the business.
Might not have been the smartest thing ever done.
Well, my boys never had a claim to smartness, but you gotta admit, they've got a certain amount of style. Look at this thing.
How fast it get?
Well, speedometer goes all the way to 100.
Wow.
Now, we haven't had time to go over it. Still the original paint jobs. We've already pulled the plates and scraped off and filed off some numbers here and there, but you probably want me to do a little bit more to it here. Give it a new coat of paint. You come up with, we'll say, another $300 plus that truck you rode in on?
No, all? Thank you.
You sure?
Yes.
Awfully nice looking.
Come now. Look at it.
He runs his hands along it, making you notice the lines of the car.
Yeah. Showing up in our business in another man's car. It's a good way to get dead.
Yeah, plus, I think even though it's looks real good, Model T would blend in a bit better.
Well, I got this. I got this Model T here. She needs a bitter day.
Model T. Oh,
got a new fresh coat of paint, covered up rust. Give me that trade-in out front, and another $150. We'll call it even.
How about so? Let's say that we guarantee you a first class of our next shipment, full bottle, and we call it $100. We call it even.
Done and done. Vadis, I like your friends here.
I keep them around for a reason.
Actually, I'll throw you in a little bonus, and you can do me a little favor. He goes over to that Model A, starts rooting around, and you notice he has discovered that the Model A has been equipped with a couple of hidden compartments, and he pulls out a couple of 44s. Now, Vadis, you know I had a little run-in, and I'm not allowed to have these things on my premises anymore, so if you'd be so kind as to dispose of them for me.
Oh, I, of course, can take care of those for you. Beautiful! Speaking of which, he like lifts up a shotgun from that he's been hiding under an overcoat that he had draped over his arm. I need to give this some tender loving care real quick. You know, nip off a bit here, tuck in a bit there, maybe add this little shoulder strap. There was this fella named Clyde, I think. Had a sweetheart. Forget her name.
Her name was Angie.
Angie, really? Yeah.
Angie and Clyde.
Gives you a points with his thumb over to the workbench where there's a vise and a hacksaw.
All right. Be one moment. Thanks a bunch. And so, yes, I turn it into a whippet gun.
Sure. And yeah, so he tosses you the keys to the Model T that his boys have already stripped down, repainted, got some new exchange plates on it.
Were Model T's not crank start?
Actually, I think some were and some weren't, depending on when they rolled off the factory.
Aha, we got a later Model T. Excellent.
So, good lucky. Got a quick question for you now that we become such good business partners.
Yeah, fire away. Just not with those 44s.
Well, I figured you might have been doing some business with a notorious band of bathtub gin runners.
Talking about those Marcel boys?
Absolutely.
We buy from them now and then. They're cheap. They always got a ready supply.
Well, I was wondering if you knew round about where they were.
Well, saying as a man did, what would be in it for a man to know such information?
Well, let's just say that I got an extra 20 running around here that might have found its way into that man's pocket.
Well, then he might know a certain hotel, corner of 5th and Pine, whole third floor.
Oh, look. I'm so careless. I just dropped this $20 bill. Why don't you just hold it for me?
What 20?
Oh, well, it just disappeared straight out of my hand. Like magic it was. Thank you, Lucky.
Tips his cap to you.
Mm-hmm.
Says, now you'll find some papers for that there Model T in the glove compartment. They won't hold up to any real inspection, but, you know, somebody just eyeballing it and all would be just fine.
When's the last time a sheriff gave a real inspection to anything?
Well, you slide one of those 20s behind that paperwork, and I'm sure they wouldn't look too deep anyway.
Or one of them 44s.
Yeah, yeah. And he waves at his boys to drop the car off the lift, tosses you the keys. I'll take a look at that other car that's going to be found dead on road. I'll let you know.
Mm-hmm.
Bring a mask. The cow's been there for a while.
All right. Anything else you want to do with Lucky?
Lucky? Why are you called Lucky?
Because he's so handsome.
Just kind of stuck. Had a rather wild early youth. Still here, still ticking. That ain't lucky. I don't know what is.
I'll toss him a silver dollar. You mind rubbing that a little for me for luck, Lucky?
Disappears out of the air in a blink of the eye.
All right. We have a hotel to go to.
All right. I have my invitation right here as I put it under my overcoat.
We'll need to go back by the base first as... I didn't want to be packing something that heavy. You're just traveling around town. And there wasn't much of a trunk I could put it in.
Well, we can go talking first. Maybe Marcel Brothers be interested in something more than Plato or Plamo.
Well, if anyone gets hurt, I know first aid. At least.
Well, let's say you make whatever trips you need to. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. Let's go knocking.
Ooh, 2 hours past my bedtime. Getting tired, but all right.
You took a
nap.
We
took a nap.
Yeah, nap.
I figured you guys got about 4 hour nap.
Come on, hop to it.
Maybe we'll invite us in for a late lunch.
Yep. Yeah. Sleep is for the dead.
So it's a little apartment
complex
that's on the corner. It's called the Three Seasons. it's got a ground floor that seems to be post boxes for each of the apartments. There's not even a greeter's desk there. It's pretty sparse, pretty bare bones.
This place seems one season short.
I wonder which one they couldn't find.
Maybe they're closed for Christmas.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'll go with that.
Does get cold pretty up far up here near the Canadian border.
That's true.
There's one lone man
with those polar vortexes
sitting vigil in the front. He's kind of leaning on a mop. There's a mop bucket nearby, and he seems to be propped up on it, listening to the radio. Doesn't pay you much attention as you wander by.
Oh, well, I pay him an awful lot of attention now.
All right, young man, maybe 20, maybe just shy therein.
Does he hold himself as a hard man?
Oh, he's pretty fit, although he seems to be rather distracted to the radio, foot tapping along to the beat.
What? I see. Out of there, sonny.
No! Oh! He drops the mop, and one thing you notice from his reaction is the first thing he does is he drops his right hand to his hip, and not finding anything there, he kind of recovers himself and sticks that hand out for a handshake, says, "Oh, welcome to the Three Seasons. I'm afraid we've not got any vacancies right now, but we got a laundromat in the back."
Well, I was wondering if... You might be a friend of mine staying around here. Maybe you could help me out with his 20. I look real hard when I see that, see if his eyes light up when I say 20.
Actually, surprisingly, no, they do not. He says, "Well, see, I know most of the residents here. I might be able to help you out. Who are you looking for?"
Well, one of the Marcel brothers.
Marcel's. Well, that's a strange name. Is that one of them Italians?
Yeah, it'd be one of them Italians. Always hanging about like they ain't got nothing to do. No place to go. No business to do.
All right. You said you were kind of observing him. He's obviously trying to keep from having an angered expression on his face. He's got a studied, just kind of blank, you know, puts on a smile, says, "Well, we do have some Italians living here. Yeah, we do. So which Martel, which one is it you're looking for?" He kind of turns around, and you see that, you know, next to the mailboxes, there's also like a couple of lockers there, and there's one that says janitorial. He's fumbling with the door.
I want to have a nice good view on that one. Have my coat hand in my coat pocket.
Yeah, so he's kind of talking to you, this back turned to you now. So it's like, "So which one of these Martel, you said? Which one of these is it? What's he go by?"
"Well, it's the one that owes me. He owes me some money. I was going to go ahead and collect on that."
"Well, a man should always pay his debts, of course. So who is it that owes you money?" And he's kind of rumbling around in the bottom of the janitorial closet. He takes his mop to hang it up.
"I just want to see, make sure my hand's in my coat pocket so that way I can make my move before he makes his."
Yep, sure. And sure enough, as he puts his mop away, studiously wringing it out, puts the mop away, he comes away from the locker very quickly with a shotgun in hand.
"And if given, I was nice and expecting it, I'd appreciate it if I could have my gun up to his head before he gets all the way around."
Yeah, sure. You were expecting this sort of thing, so he doesn't quite make it all the way around. So he's got a shotgun trained at your belly. You've got, you held one of those 44s. You've got trained in the middle of his forehead. What are the rest of you doing?
No, he has his Texas typewriter, I believe.
No, I wouldn't have brought
the Texas. Not keeping that in his coat, he wouldn't.
Yeah, not to this. This is not a formal
coat. Is huge.
This ain't a formal ball here. This is just the prom.
Well, in a rather even voice, the young man says, "I reckon you can probably pull that trigger, but can you do it before I pull mine?"
"Well, I've done it several times on men on the past. That's always the nature of the beast, although I'm partial to talking this one out. I see no reason why a man has to die here.
He just gives like a very slow nod.
I'm a businessman by heart. I'm sure we could come to some kind of arrangement.
Could always, hey, Mr. Galahad, I think we could use a lieutenant who's be more familiar with this operation to work under us.
Well, we'll see. So, what is your problem that you thought you needed to draw down on, my son?
You're asking about the Marcells.
They pay you to keep visitors away?
They keep me to mine, Snoops.
Well, I think that, you know, there's always someone who pays a little bit more money. What are they paying you to do this kind of work?
He looks at you very steadily and says, 100 a week. Good at my job.
Ooh, that's a lot of money these days.
I think we can arrange a better trade than that.
Hey, looks pretty hard at you. Are you lying, Mr. Galahad?
Absolutely not. I'm looking to expand out my industry. And this fine young lad showed both initiative and some gumption.
All right. Well, he gives you another slow nod, and he slowly lets his finger off the trigger of the shotgun.
I will slowly pull my pistol a little bit away from his head.
I will cautiously put my stick of dynamite back into its holder.
I step away from the man with the dynamite as I realize he's carrying dynamite.
Someone used to talk to me about explosions a lot when I was younger. I can't recall exactly, but it's kind of stuck with me.
His name was Vadis. His name was Vadis the Indiscriminate.
That doesn't sound right. What did Vadis know about explosions?
The young man says, well, I'm not part of their family. I'm just a young man looking to be hired. You're looking to do some hiring. I know quite a bit. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, we got ourselves a line of nice Canadian whiskey. So, see if we can't have you come along with the next ride along. Do you a test drive. Make sure you're a man who's quiet, efficient, and can handle his own. And you will be a full-time staff member on the Knights Incorporated. Sound like a plan, young man?
He says, well, so far, sir, not to be demeaning, but you have yet to grace my hands with any green. So I'm going to calmly walk out of this establishment, and if you happen to be alive after your consideration with the Marcells, I'd be glad to enter your employ.
Yeah.
You will allow me to reach into my locker here and grab my personals. I'd be glad to be on my way after telling you what you might want to know.
Well, I always find that one Mr. Jackson is just lonely. So have yourself two as just a down payment of our goodwill. That seem fair to you, sir?
He nods again. Take your money. Well, I could tell you that at 1 o'clock today, three of the Marcell boys went up to third floor. I know that Mr. Marcell, the patron, the father of the family, is there. He's always there with his wife. There's always at least two other boys around. So I'd say you've got five armed men up there, one aging father and one aging mother. Who also packs, by the way.
Yeah, well, I think it's time to show them my ties, what good old American ingenuity can do.
Yeah, he looks a little uncomfortable. He says, well, I could also tell my potential new employer that if you do start shooting up there and things get about loud, there's a precinct only 3 blocks away.
Oh.
It'll take them exactly 5 minutes to get here.
I plan for there to be no shooting, my good lad. there are things better than shooting. So?
I don't follow. Things better than shooting?
Yeah.
Profit.
Don't worry. You'll be introduced.
Well, if you don't mind, sir, what can I call you? You can call me Clyde.
Go ahead and call me Mr. Mortis. I'll see you tomorrow, Mr. Clyde. Go ahead and report. Let's call it Old Domino's. 6 p.m.
Yep, he takes his belonging out of the janitorial locker, tips his hat to you. Before he goes all the way out there, he turns around and said, just so you know, third floor apartment 6, got a big old window in the back, and I know they got a drop ladder. They've used it a few times to come in and out. Just thought you might want to know.
Well, mister, it is always valuable. Real quick, Clyde, how do they get their packages?
Packages? Package is nothing. They're on the whole third floor. They make their own produce right here.
So they don't get anything delivered from outside?
Well, yeah, they do. They get grape mash, sour mash occasionally. This comes in through the front door here in big old crates. He thinks about it for a minute and goes back to the janitorial closet, rifles around, and here you go. Pulls out a wadded piece of paper that he unwads and hands to you. They had me sign for this the last time. I think the crate company's name's at the top there. Central Distributing, it says.
Well, then. Sound like a plan to me. Let's have a good day, Clyde. Unless anybody, any of my fellow compadres have something they want to tell Mr. Clyde.
Hi, I'm Vadis. A pleasure to meet you. Shake his hand.
You are the man without a stick of dynamite in his hand that I am glad to shake hands with.
Trust me, it's not by choice. He doesn't like to share the dynamite.
Right. 6 o'clock, Domino's.
6 o'clock in Domino's, if... Have a good one.
Yep, he will take his leave.
As he takes his leave and he's out of earshot, I just turn to Mortis and go, are we sure our mysterious benefactor chose wisely on who to make our group up with?
Absolutely. We wouldn't be here if not for each and every one of our individual talents. Together, we form a whole. Without it, we're like three seasons, looking for the fourth.
I look at you suspiciously like, I think you're making this up. Like, there's something off about what you're saying, but I just nod and go, seems to make sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, how are we going to kill all them boys up there in third floor?
I can throw this dynamite through that third floor window, no problem.
Well,
I think he was talking about something a bit more quiet so we don't have 5 minutes to get out of here.
Ah, got the cars right there and we're already outside. Chuck it through the window. Good to go.
What?
But that's just my opinion. I'm just an honest grifter. What do I know about these sort of things? It's got all this dynamite. It's a shame to waste it.
Mm-hmm.
My thoughts exactly.
All right, I'm throwing it through the window.
No, not yet.
I thought we were going to try to talk to them first.
About the fuse, hold on. Alright, good.
Why did you light that in the half of...
Well, it's no good if you don't light it, son.
Then why are you wasting matches?
I've got this fancy new Zippo lighter here. It only weighs about 5 pounds. It's right here in my breast pocket.
So, Mr. Vadis, you got an idea how we're going to take them all out nice and quietly?
You said quietly. Well, if we had... No, that wouldn't work. Hey, but if we had 3 donkeys and a mule... No, that wouldn't work.
The old donkey mule grift.
We could always just use the classic method as I take out a crowbar from the trunk and just use some heavy equipment to beat them to death.
And they worried about me being in the madhouse.
Could always use the old poison Rubens trick.
Mmm.
So we all dress up as deli deliverers. We say, hello, sir. Some people have ordered Rubens for this fine establishment. We're not sure if they belong to you, but they're going to go to waste otherwise. And we load them full of arsenic.
Ooh. It's an interesting idea.
Classic grift.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds more like a murder than a grift.
We could also just burn down the building.
Well, so I have an idea.
Is it better than burning down the building?
Is it better than dynamite and poison?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Is it better than three mules and a donkey?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Well, I am eager to hear it then.
Anything is better than three mules and a donkey.
That's on the donkey.
I'm going to do a little... I'm going to do a little show with my hand where my hand looks like it's on fire. Put it out. I have the ability to make people see things.
What
I'm going to do is make them see that their whole room is on fire. Get them to jump out the fire escape. At which point in time, someone's waiting down there at that fire escape for them.
Preferably not with dynamite?
Preferably not with dynamite.
We're all missing something very important here.
Oh?
How is it that you can cause those visual grifts?
Well, you see, it's much like how old Vadis was talking about the sun being the center of the universe. Much like that.
That
makes... but you said I was crazy.
You are
crazy.
The sun
is the center. The sun is the center of everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. I don't think these two have gotten proper school.
I don't know enough of the sky science to know whether that's true or not.
Mm-hmm. I just gotta bend the sun rays. That's all it is.
You are...
sun rays mean light.
He means the explosion emissions from the sun, yes.
Mmm.
Just, if anyone gets hurt, make sure I'm still conscious. I'll be able to take care of any injuries.
What if you're the one hurt?
I like a Boy Scout or something.
Then I'll take care of my own injury.
Well, he sounds confident. I believe in him.
Well, all right.
All right, so what's the plan?
I think two or maybe three of us are going to be waiting either at the bottom of the fire escape or near the fire escape with heavy clubbing weapons and going to try and attack.
All right, so to be more clear, there is no fire escape. There is no...
Yeah, bonk him on the head and tell him, get out of town, pal.
There's no fire escape. He just mentioned that they use one of the rooms that have a window facing the alley, and they've got a rolled up ladder that they throw down. This is before fire escapes were actually a part of buildings. So.
Make an illusion of the ladder that when they try to climb down it, they'll fall to their severe injury.
If you can do something that elaborate, it might work.
Alternatively, we could have afternoon tea with them.
I want to go check out that alley. Is there like a couple of, you know, big garbage bins or something that you can use for cover to hide when they're...
Oh yeah, most certainly.
Then I'm gonna grab me old my old friend the crowbar, get into position.
All right. So there's stairs. There's actually two sets that lead up here from the ground floor up. They're not marked in any way. They're just at the extreme ends of the building. So, like, you know, one's to the far left, one's to the far right.
Is someone going to join me in the alley?
Guess that's the plan. I'll just take this here 2x4 off these crates, and I'll give them a good old crack on the head with it.
I look for a nice beating club.
You make sure to get one with a nail in it.
Mm-hmm. How about, Vadis, you go with Galahad just in case he needs backup, since I think you're back in the...
I do have my nice whip-it-up gun.
Nah, that's all right. If things go badly for me, things go badly.
Okay, I'll trust
you. You only get shot and stabbed. It's nothing to write home about.
As long as you can make it out alive, I should be able to take care of you.
Sound like
are you good? Like a medic in the Great War or something?
No, I have a little medical training and seems to have blossomed into something more.
He likes to talk around the bush or what like.
Let's just say that he may be able to play around with light. I can play around with your health to make you better.
And they say my sun talk is crazy. Mine's science.
Stare and blink at him for a couple seconds.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry. Just think of me as a doctor in another life.
All right, who's going up the stairs?
So I'm going to go up the stairs, and then I'm going to do some acting.
Well, you go. You start up the stairs, and mm-hmm. you notice that the kind of gray institutional coloring starts to slowly add some pigment to it. You start getting some yellows and greens, and then painted on the wall in nice sprightly colors. It says spring, and then there's an arrow pointing up that says summer. At the landing, so there's like a landing here. There's a door with a window in it that looks off into, and you can see the rows of apartments on the second floor. And then the stairs continue up, and there's a sign that points up that says summer. And you see the greens are more vibrant. There's a lot more color and clouds to the paint.
Mm-hmm.
So you climb up to summer. And mm-hmm. Next on that floor, same thing. You look through the door. There's a bunch of apartments on this level. And there's another sign that points up. And you've got golds and yellows. And the colors are a little bit more subdued. It says fall, which would be the third floor.
Mm. Good old and fall.
When you get to the landing of fall, and you kind of peer through the glass, you see that there are two young men down the corridor, one at each end. So one is very close to this door that you're at, but he's got his back leaning on the door. They're listening to a radio that's been plugged into the hallway. There's some action show going on, some radio broadcast being played that they're very into. The one at the end of the hall has got a window opened, and he's kind of smoking a cigarette out the window, just kind of leaning up against it. You notice there is a set of stairs. It goes further up, but there's no more, you're expecting it to say winter, but there's Ooh. Nothing. There's no arrow pointing what the next level should be.
Ooh.
Well, 3 seasons.
Let's go ahead and start oh my God, there's a fire.
So you're going to make them see a fire? Explain to me how you want. You're making magic, so make your roll first, and then you can explain.
Mm-hmm. Let's see how it goes. Let's see this become someone else's problem. Hell yeah.
All right, so one of them is someone else's problem. What is the other thing you choose?
What are my options?
Someone else's problem, short-lived or otherwise temporary, affects more than you intended, and something goes wrong and you get hurt.
I'll accept that I get hurt.
Oh, you're going to get hurt. Okay.
I am going to get hurt.
So it becomes someone else's problem and you get hurt. So roll that into your narrative. What does that look like? So you're looking through a glass. You see these two young men in the hallway, both distracted by a radio show that's going on.
All right. So I start running up the stairs and say, oh my God, there's been a fire. There's a fire. I start shouting. And as I'm running up the stairways, I trip, I roll my ankle, and I fall down the stairs, being consumed by the fire, screaming, ah!
Okay. So you've actually magicked into some existence, some illusionary flames.
Mm-hmm. Oh, flame, smoke, the full nine yards.
Okay. So the other part in there was it becomes someone else's problem. So what does that look like?
All right. So, sadly, due to my skill in acting, all of the people on the summer floor also think that there's a fire, and they're also running in panic out of their rooms.
Okay, you've caused a general panic in the whole building. Yep. As someone looks into the hallway and sees it consumed in fire from the floor down, you go rolling down as your ankle gets twisted. And it seems like someone has pulled the fire alarm as you guys are waiting out in the alley. Now hear a very loud klaxon sounding off from the building.
Alrighty, ready for the one or two people to run out and get them.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll go ahead and we'll end it there for the night. As the alarms are going off, you guys are waiting in the alleyway, and Galahad goes tumbling down the stairs, swearing at his twisted ankle.
Wait, the alarms are going off?
Yep.
Yes, there are alarms going off.
What alarms?
Fire alarm.
Good thing we're not 5 minutes away from the precinct. This is
yeah. But the good news is, it's from the police precinct, not the fire department.
Mm-hmm. No police ever show up to a fire alarm.
Nope.
All right. Well, thank you for running, Bert.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure, no problem.
Yep.